Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Show and Vern. Someone stepped up? Brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at kclend.com.
Last night, watching the final of those first four, I remember Ron bringing up the fact that Tom Izzo didn't wear a suit coat when they faced Indiana, and that he thought was disrespectful. Did you see the head coach of North Dakota State last night? That dude didn't even wear a buttoned-up shirt. He wore a t-shirt with a sports coat over it. His team ultimately won, but to me, that's not only disrespectful to your opponent, that's also disrespectful to the fact that you're in the NCAA tournament as a 16 seed. The only game you really have a chance to win because you're about to face Duke. I don't know who the coach is of North Dakota State, but man, oh man. You're lucky you got the win because that was some disrespectful stuff last night. But the NCAA tournament getting underway today. We got a lot to get to when it comes to K-State and Kansas.
David Rickman, the head coach of North Dakota State, has gone business cash.
you can't go business cash in your school's first ever NCAA victory. All right, as promised, Kling mentioned it. Big news concerning your Kansas City Royals as we sit here today, 1 week away from opening day. Opening day heard right here on 610 Sports Radio. We will be live from Kauffman Stadium. We being Show and Vern, we will be live from Kauffman Stadium. We'll be broadcasting outside of Gate D. So that's on Thursday, opening day, leading you up to Cody's On Deck show at 2 o'clock and first pitch a little bit after 3. It is a holiday in Kansas City. It's a holiday nationwide, opening day, right? Well, we want to make sure that you're a part of that holiday, and that's why coming up on Tuesday's show, from 10 to 2, Show and Vern will be giving away a pair of tickets to opening day every 15 minutes. That's 17 pairs of tickets to opening day that you'll have a chance to win just by listening. So again, opening day is 7 days away. And you are 5 days away from hopefully getting your tickets. All you have to do is listen to Show and Vern starting at 10 a.m. on Tuesday, and we will give you 17 opportunities. And again, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening right now, you may or may not know that we are tied for 13th place in this city as far as a midday show. Needless to say, that's not great. That's not where you want to be. You don't want to be outside the top 10. You don't want to be proud, as Serta is, to be tied for 13th. So if you're listening right now, you're one of a handful. You'll have 17 opportunities to win a pair of tickets to opening day. Just make sure you're listening. Tell your friends to listen on Tuesday. If they like it, hopefully they'll stick around. If not, you'll walk away possibly with some opening day tickets. Woo! 17 pair of opening day tickets. We're going to be out there on Thursday, but you can win them coming up on Tuesday right here on your home for Royals baseball for more than a decade now, 610 Sports Radio. All right, so before we get to the NCAA tournament, I do have thoughts on the Royals as well, going off of a conversation we had yesterday. Man, I honestly had to completely change what we were going to open up this program with, because with March Madness tipping up in just over an hour from right now, I thought it was prudent to discuss college basketball to start the show. And then Jay Glazer drops this bomb in his weekly mailbag in The Athletic. Now, first and foremost, let it be known that Jay Glazer isn't like Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport, where his parent company is on him like a dog to have all the breaking news, to have a camera around him. Whenever you hear something, we need it on ESPN. We need it on the NFL Network. That's not Jay Glazer. Jay Glazer is a different kind of insider. He's an insider, a friend, a confidant for front office personnel and these players. They honestly look at him more as, in my opinion, closer to an equal than they do a reporter. And they view Rappaport and Schefter, who are two of the finest in the country in any sport. But those guys are viewed as reporters. Jay Glazer is, to me, the most trustworthy voice in the NFL. He was the guy that just a few months ago, when asked to make a bold prediction, he said that Odell Beckham will be traded from the New York Giants. And he was crucified by Giants fans and NFL players. Lo and behold, Odell Beckham Jr. is traded to the Cleveland Browns. Jay Glazer isn't a guy to just make things up or take one little rumor and run with it. So this morning, reading through Jay Glazer's mailbag at The Athletic, we stumble upon this. When asked about Tyreek Hill, the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Tyreek Hill situation, Jay Glazer writes, quote, on a separate note, even if none of this happened, talking about the investigation into a battery at the home of Tyreek Hill. He is involved in the investigation. He has not been charged. He has not been identified as the subject of the investigation. But we all know the story by now of Tyreek Hill. Anyway, Jay Glazer writes, quote, on a separate note, even if none of this happened, there were questions in Kansas City about whether they could re-sign Tyreek Hill. Glazer goes on to say, I heard some rumblings at the start of free agency that his name was being thrown around in trade talks. But at the time, thought it had to do with his contract more than anything else. I think this one will take a little while to play out. Again, I heard some rumblings at the start of free agency that his name was being thrown around in trade talks, but at the time thought it had to do more with his contract than anything else. I think this one will take a while to play out. I'm interested. Honestly, I'm interested in your immediate reaction. I would imagine this is the first time that some of you have heard this. I'll take you through my thought process. First and foremost, I think the natural conclusion to jump to is the Chiefs believe that there is substance to this investigation. Because the league year, Serta, correct me if I'm wrong, the league year started, 2 weeks ago, and the first alleged incident at Tyreek Hill's home is March 5th. March 5th, March 14th were the two alleged incidents that who knows who's involved.
Started 8 days ago on March 13th, but it was well underway before that, but officially.
So, the first alleged incident at the home of Tyreek Hill happens about a week before free agency starts. Jay Glazer says when free agency started, the Chiefs were throwing Tyreek Hill's name around in trade talks. So the natural conclusion to jump to is they were worried about giving this guy long-term money because of what he may or may not have done. So they took to free agency to consider the notion of moving Tyreek Hill. Because I reject the idea that they're afraid to give him long-term money. I understand right now you're not going to give him long-term money until you see how this investigation plays out. The thing that worries me isn't that the Chiefs are going the way of the Green Bay Packers, and that is continuing to heap everything on the shoulders of their MVP quarterback, allowing talented weapons to leave the city like they did in Green Bay. What I'm worried about is the message, and let's hope that Tyreek Hill is not culpable in any sort of crime, any sort of battery, any sort of neglect. You know the story. Let's hope that this was some vast miscommunication and there's nothing to see here. That's what we can hope, maybe foolishly hope, but hope nonetheless. If there is nothing to this, to me, this isn't a Green Bay Packer kind of concern. To me, this would be a Pittsburgh Steeler kind of concern, where understandably you prioritize your quarterback, as you should. A quarterback with the talents of Patrick Mahomes come around once in a generation for a city like Kansas City, for any city. It's not often you get someone like Patrick Mahomes. He should be priority number one year in and year out. But to immediately let it be known around the NFL, and you know things like this always get out when you have people like Rappaport and Schefter and Glazer, three of the finest reporters in all of sports media, you know these things are going to get out. To allow a dynamic talent like Tyreek Hill to know so very early in his career, prior to getting the contract, heck, prior to becoming a free agent, and even prior to the new season starting up, to immediately let him know that we don't value you as much as Patrick Mahomes. In fact, we believe you are expendable. And that's it right there. To allow Tyreek Hill to know that he's expendable, to me, is a mistake. It's a gigantic mistake. That's what Pittsburgh did with Antonio Brown. That's what Pittsburgh did with Le'Veon Bell. And it looks like the Steelers are not circling the drain, but they're certainly rebuilding to a certain extent. Or let me put it this way. They're certainly not the Super Bowl contender that they've been for the past five, six, seven seasons after losing AB, after losing Le'Veon Bell. So I'm interested in your thoughts. When you hear that when free agency started, the Chiefs were floating Tyreek Hill's name out there as a possible trade candidate, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Is it concern? Is it a celebration? Is it a nod to Brett Veach, to Andy Reid? Are you confident in the way that they're handling the second most important player on this Chiefs ball club? Phone lines are open for you. 913-576-7610. 913-576-7610. Text line as well. The Protein House Eat With A Purpose text line 69306. So we'll get your thoughts on that and what we in Kansas City can learn from what Le'Veon Bell had to say yesterday and what we should fear about what Le'Veon Bell said yesterday. It's all coming up next.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
It wasn't important, don't worry. It was in reference to that last commercial. That's what I was trying to tell you. Hey, welcome back, Show and Vern. Show and Vern is the place where you can win your opening day tickets. Coming up on Tuesday, we give you 17 opportunities to win. Every 15 minutes. 10:15, 10:30, 10:45, 11, 11:15. You understand. Every 15 minutes, your chance to win a pair of tickets to Royals opening day. Only here on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio. That's coming up on Tuesday. Opening day is a week from tonight. Or a week from this afternoon, I should say. Tonight, though, Royals Hot Stove with Cody Tapp at 6 o'clock. Kyle Zimmer will join him. Protein House Eat With A Purpose text line 69306 from the 816. There's no listener number on this, but texter writes, Vern, that's 17 times that Serta could screw things up. You guys really have faith in him. And as you heard that music bed just completely drop off, again, Serta is off and running on a Thursday.
I got distracted.
I'm sure you did. Well, Serta, I want to get your thoughts. You are a former... Well, you're still a Chiefs fan, for as much as you want to deny it. Jay Glazer, who I'm already seeing on the text line. Seeing on the text line that's from the 816, I think these reports from Jay Glazer are BS, and I don't believe them for a second. Go ahead. You can make the same mistake that fans have recently when it came to Odell Beckham and countless other reports from Jay Glazer. I respect his opinion as darn near gospel. To me, he is the most plugged-in reporter in all of the NFL. So when he takes to The Athletic to write, I heard rumblings at the start of free agency that Tyreek Hill's name was being thrown around in trade talks. I thought at the time it had to do with his contract more than anything else, but in reference to the investigation, I think that one will take a little while to play out.
I just don't understand. You know, yes, obviously we have to see how this stuff plays out with Tyreek and the entire situation because we still don't have any details about that. And so this thing could take a very drastic turn. But just looking at it from a football standpoint, and if this stuff was being put out there before they knew anything about this, before either of these incidents occurred, and they were looking to move him ahead of time, I'm still trying to figure out what exactly the Chiefs are doing, because to me, you know, and people are quick to point it out on Twitter, and it's something I've been arguing with people about for weeks now, is the, well, the Chiefs keep getting burned by big contracts, so they don't give out big contracts anymore. That's ridiculous. It's as if the Chiefs, people keep saying they're trying to build a dynasty. They're trying to do what the Patriots have done. You got to win one first. And the way you win one first is by making sure you have the best players in place right now. You can't just put it all on Patrick Mahomes and assume that he's going to get you there. That's what the Packers did, and they were fortunate enough to get one early on. They've never come close since then. Like, they made a couple NFC championship games, but Aaron Rodgers can only do so much because the Packers have done a horrible job building around him, and it feels exactly like that's what the Chiefs are doing.
And I look at it more like the Pittsburgh Steelers, to where they make it open. They don't lie about it. They let everyone on the team know you're all fighting for second place behind Patrick Mahomes, which, look, Patrick Mahomes should be treated differently, but I don't believe it's in their best interest when you have someone the caliber, someone with the talent of Tyreek Hill, just like in Pittsburgh, someone the caliber and with the talent of Antonio Brown. It's not wise, in my opinion, to let that talent know that we believe you're expendable. Now, you can let it be known that, hey, Patrick Mahomes is a different cat. He means the most to the organization, but you mean a lot too. We need you, but even you would understand how important a quarterback is. To let it be known that we believe we can continue to be a Super Bowl threat without your talents, I think is a colossal mistake. 913-576-7610, and as I mentioned earlier in the week, unless Tyreek Hill is, you know, this is a hypothetical, but unless he is behind bars, unless he did something that is going to get him kicked out of the league or suspended from the league, there's no reason that the Chiefs should not plan on him being a part of their squad long term. Even if he suspended 5-6 games for something that could be tied back to him. The edict or the way that they handled the Kareem situation left them wiggle room that they could bring Tyreek Hill back. Remember, they got rid of Kareem Hunt because he lied. And we've all learned that fans can deal with just about anything if you put up numbers and if you help your team win. Let's go to Rashid in Overland Park. Go ahead, Rashid.
Hey, listen, I love the show. I listen to you guys all the time. Thanks for having me on. I think that Tyreek Hill is a very important key aspect to our offense, but I believe if we do put him on the board, because we are a business and we do put him up for draft or picks or whatever, I think that we can go ahead and get first-round pick. I think DK Metcalf and, you know, show him up, get a rookie contract out of him. That's what I believe, and I think with Patrick Mahomes, he can make anything happen, and Tyreek Hill is an amazing aspect of our offense, but I believe Travis Kelce is number two in our offense. That's just my scoop on that.
I got you. Thanks for the phone call. Yeah, I disagree. I think Tyreek Hill is clearly the second most important player on this Chiefs team. I mean, it's my opinion that Tyreek Hill is the individual most responsible for Alex Smith being in the MVP conversation, the guy that is most responsible for helping Patrick Mahomes. Next to Andy Reid, Tyreek Hill is a guy that is most responsible for Patrick Mahomes' run at the MVP, 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards. Look, just about everyone else in the offense, I'm not saying that they, well, yes, I am. I am saying that they're replaceable. And I'm not going to act like I am the greatest football mind or some X's and O's genius, but to me, the greatest football mind and an X's and O's genius is Bill Belichick. And whenever I heard Bill Belichick talk about the Chiefs, there was only one name that he talked about, and it wasn't Patrick. It was Tyreek. It was about number 10 and how that speed was a difference maker and how that speed was something that kept him up at night and how that speed was something that he had to game plan against. That was his focus every time he played the Chiefs, was taking away Tyreek Hill. And when you take away Tyreek Hill, you turn this offense from a juggernaut to an above-average unit. And with a still very questionable defense, an unproven defense, I don't think you're good enough to get by with just an above-average offense. I think you need that offensive juggernaut in today's NFL to offset your below-average defense, which we may disagree on that as well, but I still view this defense as slightly below average. Protein House, Eat with a Purpose, text line 69306. From the 646, Vern, are you really worried about alienating Tyreek Hill? The guy is under investigation for child abuse. Again, I understand how you can jump to a conclusion. I've laid that out earlier in the week. His past and the NFL's persona leads you to jump to that conclusion. But he's not being investigated. He's involved in an investigation. He's not the subject of the investigation. Look, I'm not trying to sit here and defend him and say that he did nothing wrong in whatever happened in his household on possibly two occasions in the month of March. You're right to jump to conclusions if you want. I'm not going to do that. I feel like I'm in a different spot sitting behind this microphone. I have to be somewhat responsible. I have to give him the presumption of innocence until, well, heck, at least until charges are brought up. But right now, we got nothing to say that Tyreek Hill did something nefarious. Now, in his past, of course. And if you want to jump to a conclusion, again, I'm not going to blame you. But I'm not going to do that. I'm still going to go under the presumption of innocence and hope. Some of you may pray on it. But I'm going to hope that not only was he not involved, but the situation, the possible battery or neglect or child abuse, that nothing comes of it, that it didn't happen, that the kid's doing just fine. So we'll keep you updated on that if anything more comes out. But again, Tyreek Hill, according to the best in the business, Jay Glazer, Tyreek Hill's name was being thrown around by the Chiefs at the start of free agency. You lost Kareem Hunt, justifiably so. Great move by the Chiefs to get rid of him. If Tyreek lied, I guess you got to get rid of him as well. Patrick Mahomes is great. He's the MVP. He's not a cure-all, my friends. He's not. We got to get to this Le'Veon Bell thing. We'll do that coming up next.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
Welcome back, Show and Vern. Show on vacation. I haven't even mentioned. Show's in Arizona. He'll be back on Monday. He's out there with the family enjoying spring training. So excited to get Show back on Monday. And we got a lot of Chiefs talk. I had a lot of college basketball discussion lined up, and we'll keep you updated all day long. Scores every 10 minutes here on Show and Vern and on The Drive. Keep in mind, The Drive's coming up live from Winning Streaks starting at 2 o'clock. Jay Binkley's going to join us in studio at 11. Can't wait to get his thoughts on this Tyreek situation and maybe a new look at the top of his mock draft. Make sure you check out Bink's mock draft 3.0 at 610sports.com. So a lot more to get to when it comes to Tyreek Hill. But I got to get to Le'Veon Bell. Jets running back. Le'Veon Bell, the Sports Illustrated cover story this week. He did a half-hour interview with SI.com that, honestly, it's not very entertaining. I would not recommend you watch that. But before we get to what he had to say, and this does tie into the Chiefs and what the Chiefs can learn from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Before we get to what he had to say to Sports Illustrated, let me clearly state that it's my opinion that Ben Roethlisberger is one of, if not the, biggest issues, biggest problems in Pittsburgh. It's him, then it's the GM, Kevin Colbert, and then it's the head coach, Mike Tomlin. That's how I would line it up. That would be my order of blame. Ben, GM, head coach. You know, Ben's a guy that's been given the keys to the city. Unfortunately, his ego has control of the wheel and has driven this franchise into a brick wall. I mean, running off Antonio Brown and, of course, Le'Veon Bell. Now, Ben Roethlisberger's still a guy that you should try to hang on to if you're Pittsburgh. I'm not saying you need to get rid of him. He's a Hall of Fame talent, but it's his leadership abilities that have a lot of people wondering what's going on in Pittsburgh. It's his leadership abilities that leave a lot to be desired. In fact, speaking of Sports Illustrated, they had a piece a year ago that really shows the two sides of Ben Roethlisberger, the guy that is a hero in Pittsburgh, yes, but also a guy that has turned his back on his own hometown. It's a great piece that shows his ability to turn his back on just about anyone in his life if they slight him even a bit. I mean, the smallest slight, and Ben just completely cuts you out and acts like you never meant anything to him, according to the story in Sports Illustrated. But here's what Le'Veon Bell had to say to SI.com about the hierarchy in Pittsburgh.
It's like Ben, and then like GM. He's like, it's like they all like, it seems like they're all on the same level than everybody else is like.
Okay, so it's Ben, the GM, and then all the rest of the players.
In a sense.
Well.
That's the vibe I got. I'm just saying, when I got to the Jets, I feel like I can talk to you and you can talk to me. It's even. Everything's even.
Right, okay. But yeah, but you felt in Pittsburgh that the quarterback.
I didn't feel in Pittsburgh that we're even. I don't feel like we're even. I never felt that. And at that time, that's all I knew. I'm just thinking that's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah. Yeah, you weren't even.
Because I was never in a different situation. I was never nowhere else. I'm just thinking, yeah, that's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just feel like if we're teammates, we're teammates. We're all on the same thing.
Mm-hmm. And you felt like you weren't even with Ben.
Ben is Ben. He's the quarterback. At the time, I'm thinking that's how it's supposed to be. He's supposed to be like that. Like, don't get me wrong, quarterbacks are leaders. And, yeah, everybody goes to the quarterback. It is what it is. But it's like, you're still a teammate at the end of the day. You're not, you know what I'm saying? You're not Kevin Colbert. You know what I'm saying? You're not Mr. Rooney. We're still teammates.
Yeah, I mean, certainly several players, you know, Antonio, Josh Harris also said some things in recent weeks about Ben's leadership abilities. So what was your relationship like with him? And was that a factor why you didn't want to stay in Pittsburgh?
That was part of it. That's part of it. It wasn't the factor. Mm-hmm. But it was a factor. Yes, it was a factor.
Your relationship with him.
Yeah, it was a factor.
And you wanted it to be different in a way.
Yes.
How would you have liked it to be different?
I'd have liked it to have been more open.
Okay.
Genuine.
All right. I can't do anymore. Again, I told you how I feel about Ben, but you guys correct me if you disagree. Explain to me why you disagree. But this interview does not help those. It doesn't help an Antonio Brown. That doesn't help a Le'Veon Bell. He He, to me, seems unaware of what matters most in the NFL, and that is, of course, the quarterback. Again, the difference between what I said about Tyreek Hill and what I'm saying now is Tyreek Hill, Le'Veon Bell, they have to understand that, yes, the quarterback is the most important position in this locker room, is the most important position in this franchise. The difference between the Chiefs and the Steelers must be the Steelers organization, along with the quarterback, never made this running back, Le'Veon Bell, or that wide receiver, Antonio Brown, feel as if they are irreplaceable, as if they are key cogs in the franchise's quest to win a Super Bowl. Now, I agree that quarterbacks, with the ability of Big Ben and Patrick Mahomes, quarterbacks that are future Hall of Famers, they should be treated differently. Drew Brees is treated differently in New Orleans. The difference is he handles it well. He still builds up his teammates. He still passes the praise on to an Alvin Kamara, to a Michael Thomas, to the stars that surround him that make his job easier. Ben Roethlisberger didn't do that. My issue with Le'Veon Bell isn't how he was treated or how he was viewed by the organization. He's right that he deserved a little bit more credit, a little bit more love. But to ever expect you and the quarterback to be eye to eye in the grand scheme of things, that's never going to happen. But the onus is now on Patrick Mahomes to do well known throughout the locker room that Mahomes reigns supreme, that Mahomes is the alpha. It's his job to follow the blueprint laid out by Drew Brees, to follow the blueprint laid out by Peyton Manning, where, look, a wink and a nod, we all know that I'm the big dog with the fancy hog, but I can at least try and pick you up. What am I describing? I'm talking about leadership here. And I was covering the Packers for the final years of Brett Favre. I saw how he was treated differently, and instead of picking up his teammates off the field, he's getting dressed in a separate locker room. He is leaning into what the organization already makes abundantly clear, and that is, you're above everyone else. Now, it's the job of the quarterback to, yes, be above everyone else, but not be so blatant with it, to still act as if you are one of the guys, right? Is there a better boss? Is there a better leader in your line of profession than the guy that you know makes more money, the guy that you know handles your future, that could fire you if he wanted to, but he acts like he's just one of the guys? He goes out and has beers with you, goes out and has wings with you, takes you out to eat, is a normal equal when it's you and him communicating. But we all know, again, a wink and a nod, we all know that he's the big dog. That's what I'm going to find so interesting these next few years with Patrick Mahomes. Because Patrick Mahomes deserves to be treated differently by the organization, but the onus is on him to make sure that that doesn't permeate throughout the locker room so everyone looks at him not like an equal, but they look at him like a GM, like a coach, like someone that is anything but their teammate. It's going to be real interesting to watch how Patrick Mahomes handles this. Newsflash.
Serta's Newsflash.
I'm even a little heartbroken about this one, but I'm sure it'll touch your heart, Vern. Ichiro Suzuki has told the Mariners that he intends to retire after today's game.
Oh, it's done. It's retired. The Mariners put out a press release that Ichiro has indeed called it a career. He will enter Cooperstown in 2025. There is one of the best articles I've ever read. ESPN, the magazine. Oh, man, he is a local guy. I am forgetting his name, but he wrote a great piece. Come on, Vern. What the hell is that guy's name? Wrote a great piece about Ichiro. Yes, it touches my heart. It touches my heart in that Ichiro Ichiro has a lot of similarities to a Bryce Harper, a LeBron James, a Sidney Crosby, a Patrick Mahomes. A guy that came over with hype unknown to anyone prior. Hype that I thought at the time, like a lot of people thought at the time, was impossible to live up to. And not only did he live up to it, he exceeded it. Ichiro Suzuki, you could make a case, is one of the 5-10 greatest hitters of all time. And we're talking about a sport that's been around for 150 years. Now, Ichiro hanging it up, it was a great way to go out as he was playing his final game in his hometown. Wright Thompson. Wright Thompson of ESPN the magazine. The story is titled When Winter Never Ends. You get to learn about the borderline psychotic nature of Ichiro, how it all dates back to his relationship with his father. I can't recommend it enough. You will not only appreciate how hard Ichiro works, you'll also feel bad for him because you know today he is an empty and broken man. Ichiro doesn't know what to do with himself without baseball. Wright Thompson of ESPN the magazine. Hey, we're just over a half hour away from the true start of the NCAA tournament, and Serta is juiced. Find out why next.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
Welcome back, Show and Vern. Show in Arizona at Royals Spring Training. He'll be back on Monday. Speaking of the Royals, opening day a week away. Next Thursday, 3 o'clock, we get you started with Cody's On Deck show at 2. Show and I will be live from Kauffman from 10 to 2. Right outside of Gate D at Kauffman Stadium. And we want you to join us. So we're giving you 17 opportunities to win tickets to opening day. All you have to do is listen on Tuesday. So after we recap the first weekend of the NCAA tournament on Monday, we will regroup on Tuesday and make sure you're listening at 10:15, 10:30, 10:45, 11, 11:15. You understand. Every 15 minutes, we're giving you an opportunity to win a pair of tickets to Royals opening day that's coming up on Tuesday right here on Show and Vern on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio. Protein House, eat with a purpose, text line 69306. From the 816, Vern, it sounds like Spec is a lot like Big Ben Roethlisberger. From listener GD12, sounds like Spectre is just one of the guys, like Ben Roethlisberger is just one of the guys. That's an astute observation. Protein House, eat with a purpose, text line 69306. Ladies and gentlemen, I've never seen Serta this fired up. He is ready to go. For the NCAA tournament, it's time once again for Serta's Tournament Spotlight.
I'm excited.
You sound excited.
Next two days of the NCAA tournament. One of the best times of the year outside of the start of football. But where I want to start today, the absolute worst game of the weekend. Just happens to be the very first game of the weekend. Louisville taking on Minnesota here in about 25 minutes. That game will tip off. The reason why it's one of the worst games really has nothing to do with the product on the court. I'm assuming the Minnesota Golden Gophers will let everyone down as they are prone to do. I also don't know anything about them. But I do know Chris Mack's Louisville team is all right at playing basketball when they're not being consumed by controversy surrounding Rick Pitino, who's not even their coach anymore. But his son is the coach of the Minnesota Golden Gophers, and Chris Mack's pretty upset they have to play them in the first round. I think you should shut up, and I hope you lose to Minnesota, Chris Mack.
What did Chris Mack say about it?
He wasn't happy that the tournament committee selected them to play Minnesota because Minnesota is coached by Rick Pitino's son.
Yeah, Chris Mack, you could shut the hell up. I'm with you, Serta. You're rolling. Keep it going.
Oh, me, oh, my. Can you think of a more exciting first-round matchup than number 7, Wofford against number 10, Seton Hall?
Sure.
Coach Kevin Willard bringing the Pirates back to prominence. The number 7 seed attained by Wofford is the best seed attained by a Southern Conference team in the NCAA tournament since 1979. The Terriers completed an 18-0 record in the Southern Conference this year, and they hold the nation's longest winning streak with a record of 20 straight. Terriers, baby. Marquette taking on Murray State.
Wait, did you just have all facts? That was just facts? There was no joker?
Okay. I'm a big Wofford fan.
I didn't know that. I like the Wofford Terriers a lot in this one, Vern.
Okay. Marquette taking on Murray State. This one doesn't have all the makings of a typical 12-5 upset, but let's be real. No one trusts Steve Wojciechowski's squad. They just had Dwayne Wade once at Marquette. I feel like that's the only reason anybody remembers them, because Dwayne Wade played there like 15 years ago. Oh, yeah, they did have Jimmy Butler. Forgot about that one.
I know we've made some great strides in sports television. Red Zone's the only way to watch the NFL outside of you're watching your favorite team. So it's like Chiefs 1, then Red Zone 2. That's really the only way to watch the NFL.
Remember the good old days? Have you even heard the...
When you had to be a DirecTV kid for March Madness, and that was the only way you could watch all the games?
No. I never had DirecTV.
That was the best, because I was a DirecTV kid, so all the kids had to come over to my house.
Under the desk?
Because my dad was a Giants fan growing up in D.C., so he had to have DirecTV to have this NFL Sunday package.
No one cares.
So we got all the sports packages.
Spectre, get out of here.
And that was the best way to watch March Madness, was DirecTV, because you got all the games. Now all the games are on cable and accessible to everybody, and I guess I'm glad for everybody who doesn't have DirecTV, but...
Go watch it on your computer.
I'm pretty sure you can do that online. But it felt more special back in the day when it was only on a certain service.
You know what, Serta? This is your own damn fault. You're getting your segment clipped because you allowed my segments on Tuesday and Wednesday to be clipped. You just allowed Spectre. You kissed up to Spectre on the air.
I gotta say this, too. You got to have an elite remote controller person on these 2 days. You can't have someone slacking, having the controller somewhere else.
We call them
It's got to be the remote in hand at all times from 11:15 to 11 at night.
You have a
Otherwise, you're not going to the right house.
You know what?
Have someone who is conscious of being a good remote controller. Or else you're going to have a ruined March Madness on Thursday and Friday. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Just stick to Twitter. Stick to your hot takes on Twitter.
After taking time to think about it, I'm actually with it. I actually like that take on it. Red Zone has revolutionized the game. I'm pretty sure you could do that online on CBS. But they got to come up with something better. I need a Red Zone NCAA tournament dedicated channel.
Gumble to Gumble beats Justice and saying, hey, we're taking you away from tournament action on CBS to go to Salt Lake City for this final seconds. I mean, that was kind of cool back in the day because you only had CBS from, like, what, 1997 to 2012?
You had the game on CBS, and they would jump.
They would jump around, and it was really exciting.
The best of both worlds. You get that boss paycheck and you still just get to do whatever you want on the air.
I don't think what I'm saying is crazy, though.
No, it's not.
Right?
It's like when cable boxes had A and B.
Yeah.
I just want a B that's just dedicated to NCAA tournament
action. We talked about nostalgia yesterday with Patrick Mahomes. It'll never be like 2018 again. March Madness will never be the same again outside of the old DirecTV package and just having CBS and them jumping to different games.
You told me you came in here to help me fix my talk back button so I could speak with Serta during breaks.
It's fixed, is it not?
No, it's not working.
Well, mine's fixed.
It's still...
My microphone's fixed. My talk back's fixed.
It's going in and out. We're working on our sign language today.
Good. Communication's a big part of doing a good show.
Look, I understand...
Great point, boss.
God bless it, Serta. I understand the power that comes with being the boss, but to lie to get on the air just seems silly.
You knew
it. Like,
was
if you're going to force your way on like you did in the previous few days, just do it. But to, hey, Vern, you need a hand with that talk back. Serta tells me it's not working. It just, from the 785, you guys just lost a listener. Listener 34, El Jefe Spectre is my favorite. Get out of here. From the 785, why is this jackass hijacking the show once again?
Not hijacking the show. I just needed 2 minutes to get off my take, and
we're
done.
Okay, well, goodbye. Goodbye. Make room for Jay Binkley, because the NFL draft is just about 1 month away, and our draft expert Jay Binkley joins us with possibly a new name to look out for in the first round. That's next.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.